Good morning. Welcome to Cornerstone. Is everybody settling into the cold weather yet? Got your jackets back out? Trying to stay warm? All right. Let's go ahead and get started this morning. Would you stand with us as we worship? Seated, take a moment to greet someone next to you. Shake hands, tell them good morning. This next song we're going to do is fairly new. You might have heard it on the radio a couple times. Every time I hear it, I crank it up and just soak in God's presence in the vehicle and just worship Him as I'm going down the road. But it's one of those songs where, you know, we don't deserve to be alive. We all deserve to be dead. We don't deserve what we've got, and it's kind of a thing where the song is saying, how can God love me after all I've done? But He does. And that's what's so awesome about it, is no matter what we've done or where we've been, He still loves us. And no matter how guilty we feel or what's going on, He's still there and He still loves us. Would you stand with us as we worship?
His hands are dirty. I dare not lift them up to the Holy One. You plead my cause. You right my wrongs. You break my chains. You you.
in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Just give me Jesus. You can have
His wounds have paid my ransom.
Father God, we thank you for this time of worship. We thank you that your wounds have paid our ransom, Lord. That we don't have to earn salvation, Lord, that we can have it through faith. We ask, God, that you would pour out your presence, pour out your spirit on this place. Let us feel your presence as we continue in this worship time. We ask that you be with Mike, that you would speak through him, and just draw us closer to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Starting a new series this morning, Getting Past Your Past. The last 9 weeks, we've been going verse through verse by the book of Galatians. And I don't know about you, but that was such a powerful series for me just in studying, just learning about how we are free in Christ, how our identity kind of sets us apart. It's not, just as Chris just said, it's not what we have to earn. It's what Christ has done for us. And we can be saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. And while we were going through that series and planning, I listened to a sermon series by a guy named Craig Groeschel out in Oklahoma. And I listened to a lot of sermon series, and he preached a sermon series called this, Getting Past Your Past. And he preached it a couple years ago. And when I heard it, I was like, man, this is just something I've got to come back and share with you guys. And so some of the ideas and some of the points that I'm sharing, man, I got from him. But the reason I wanted to share it with you guys is this is something I just don't hear talked a lot about in church. And it's something that so many of us struggles with. And it really keeps us from being free in Christ. It really holds us back. And our past is something that, man, it can really, it really affects the way we live the present. So we've got to deal with it. What I want to do, I want to kind of give you an idea of what we're going to be talking about the next few weeks. And so next week, I'll tell you, it's something that you don't hear talked about a lot in church, but it's how do we initiate restoration? When somebody has hurt you, when somebody has done something, how do we take the first step? And how do we work through conflict in a godly way? And that's something that, man, that will help you in every single aspect of your life. The following week, we're going to talk about forgiveness. You're going to hear a powerful testimony about tragedy, about pain, about forgiveness. And then we kind of wrap the series up by just talking about how do we move past our past? How do, if we've got things in our past that we regret, and I would say that every single person in this room would say that there's something in your past you wish you could go back and erase. You wish there was a delete button that you could just kind of take it out. And so we'll talk about how we can move past that. But today, what I want to talk about and what I want to do this morning is kind of talk about the labels that we have on our life. And let's just be honest. Sometimes we have labels that we put on ourselves. Sometimes other people have labeled us. But we walk through life with labels. And how do we move past them? How do we break through? How do we see ourselves as God sees us? And so that's what we're going to talk about. The truth is that so many of us carry around labels, and we're continually forgetting who we are in Christ. And what happens is we try to fill that void in our life, and we look to fill our identity through other things. And it may be your job. It may be your hobbies. It may be an addiction. But we try to fill that void in our life with other things. And so it may be your failures, it may be your accomplishments, but we lose our identity. And you hear that word a lot. What is our identity? Our identity is how we see ourselves. That's just the reality. It's how we perceive ourselves. It's how we see ourselves. And it's what shapes our core beliefs. And it determines what we say and how we act and how we respond. And so having a proper identity, knowing who you are, and I'm not really talking I mean, culture kind of labels that self-esteem, and I would say it's a little bit different because it's not just feeling good about yourself. And when we have our identity in Christ, it's not, you kind of see yourself for who you really are, but you see yourself through Jesus Christ. It's knowing who you are in relation to the God that created you. It's knowing that you are loved. It's knowing that you you have your identity not in what you have done, but in what Jesus has done for you. And I would say so many people struggle with all types of sin. It may be alcoholism, it may be addiction, it may be sexual sin, pride, anger, bitterness. There's so many things that people in this room are struggling with. And yet, they continue to find themselves struggling over and over and over again. And before long, they've labeled themselves by the sin that they do. And I want you to know that that doesn't have to be the case. That you can be set free this morning. And I believe God is going to do a supernatural work in the lives of the people that are here this morning. I truly believe that. Here's what I want you to understand. You aren't what's been done to you. That does not define you. But you are what Jesus has done for you. You aren't what you do, but you are what Jesus has done. What you do doesn't determine who you are. And that one truth would radically change how believers would live their life if they just took hold of that truth and understood that what you do doesn't determine who you are. Rather, who you are in Christ determines what you do. You'll see in your guide, if you're taking notes, you'll see the first line is, "Hello, my name is," and you'll see an underline there. And this is not for you to put, "My name is Mike." No. Okay, I'm going to make it a little harder for you this morning. Well, here's what I want you to think about, and we're going to come back to this at the end of the service. What I'd like to ask you to do is think about, what is the negative label that follows your name? What is the negative label that you have labeled yourself or other people have labeled you? And I'm going to give you the whole service to think about this. But what that little fill in the blank is to put that negative label that you are carrying around with yourself. It may be an emotion. It may be a feeling. If you're insecure or you think you're a failure or people always take advantage of you, you might say, "Man, I'm the victim. I'm just regret." What is it that you would put in that? Maybe it's how somebody else has labeled you. You say, "I'm lazy," or "irresponsible," or "I'm the hothead," or "I'm the person that can't handle money," or whatever that label is that you would say that has defined my life up to this point. That's what I want you to think about. And you can kind of, you may just say, "Hey, I'm just average. My name is average." I don't know what it is. I don't know how you view yourself. I don't know what your identity is wrapped up in, but I want you to think about that as we go through this morning. And I want you to understand that God's power is always bigger than your past. And that's huge, because what I want you to do is, as you think of that, and as something comes into your mind, and whether you write it down or you just keep it up here, I want you to understand that that is not going to define your life going forward. God's power is always bigger than your past. Last week, I even brought up this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we just need to understand this, that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Anyone that belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. And I love this whole passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, because it shares what our identity is, that Christ took upon himself our sin, and in exchange we receive his righteousness. Again, our identity is wrapped up in what Christ has done for us. It's what we spent the last 9 weeks talking about. And so understanding this, that we are a new person in Christ. It means anyone. It doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, where you've come from, how bad your past is, how true the label may actually be that you've attached to your name. It doesn't matter who you are. If you are in Christ, you are a new person. That sin that has held you back, that you have power to overcome that. I'll just tell you, when you placed your faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you became a new creation in Christ. And now God's Word tells us that we are viewed in the holiness and righteousness of Christ. Ephesians 4 says it this way. Ephesians 4 says that that's not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and you were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. You are created to be like God. We've talked about how Christ is being formed in us, that as we mature, as we grow, what happens is everything in our life starts to look more like Jesus. That's what Christian growth is. That's what holiness is. And we're to be like God in our righteousness and what we say and what we do and how we live and in our holiness. And so understanding that, that again, we're not defined by our past. The old you was crucified with Christ. It's no longer there. God didn't just repair you when He saved you. He gave you a new life in Christ. Why do you think He told Nicodemus that you must be born again? It's not just a repair. It's not just a do-over. This is a brand new life in Christ. We talked about that in Galatians in chapter 2, verse 20. We said, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and He gave Himself for me. Romans 6 is another verse we shared. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our life. We are no longer slaves to sin. Colossians 3 says it this way. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits at the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And so that new creation, that new identity, comes with a description of who we are. We have been forgiven. We have been declared innocent. We are justified. That's what we've talked about. We've been made holy, which is we've been sanctified. We've been adopted into God's family. We've become joint heirs of God's kingdom. We've been given the righteousness of God. We're translated out of darkness into light. We're changed from being God's enemy to being His friend. We're joined with Christ eternally as His bride. So many more descriptions throughout the New Testament of who we are in Christ now. We have been changed. That old identity, that sinful nature, yes, it's part of our flesh. Yes, we continue living that battle out between the desires of the flesh and the desires of the Spirit. Just, again, Galatians talks about that. But let me, this morning, here's what I want you to know, that your new identity is spiritual. And we choose each and every day what it means to grow to be more like Jesus. And I want to kind of give you several ways of thinking this morning. I want to give you three thoughts that will set you free from the labels that have held you down. And so the first thing I want you to understand is that God will give you a new name. Whatever name that you wrote down, whatever label you wrote down, here's what I want you to know. God will give you a new name this morning. God is in the business of renaming us. And we see this throughout Scripture. Isaiah 62, we see how God is in the name of is in the business of giving us a new name. He said, the nations will see your vindication, all the kings your glory. You will be called by a new name. And who's going to give you that new name? the mouth of the Lord will bestow. And I'll just tell you, throughout Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, we see how God redeems broken people. He takes broken people that are hurting, people who are messed up, and he uses them. He gives them a new name. He gives them a whole new purpose to their life, everything about them, and he puts them into his service. There's so many examples. I'll just give you a few. One, Abram and Sarai, right, who they wanted more than anything to have children, but they couldn't. And God said, you're going to have so many ancestors, you couldn't even, your descendants, that you can't even count them. And to prove it, I'm giving you a new name. And he changed Abram's name to Abraham, Sarai to Sarah. And it means the father and mother of many nations. And so he gave them a new name that carried with it a new identity. He actually renamed them. And there's a guy named Jacob. Maybe you've read about him in the Bible. His name literally meant deceiver. You know, it's kind of weird in our Western culture. Our names don't really have a lot of meaning associated with them. But can you imagine as a parent naming your kid, hey, you're going to be the deceiver? I mean, that parent didn't have high hopes, right, for their kid. I mean, you think about that. We don't name our kids, hey, you're failure and you're loser. No, I mean, we don't do that. But here, I mean, his name literally meant deceiver, and he lived into that name. He was a swindler. He's a trickster, right? I mean, and we see God gave him a new name. What was his new name? Israel. God changed Jacob's name to Israel. And then he grew into that name, that God would build a nation through him. And he, you know, at the time that he was growing up, he didn't know that God would use him, that Jesus would be one of his descendants. And yet we see God gave him, he spoke a new name. There's another place in the Old Testament, in the book of Judges, chapter 6. There was a guy who was scared and afraid, a guy who was hiding, a guy who was just afraid of the enemy. His name was Gideon. And yet God chose him. And God says, wait a minute, I know you're scared, I know you're afraid, but the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. I mean, here's a guy that's hiding. And God says, you're a mighty man of valor. And he's saying, who are you talking to? And he's looking around, are you talking to me? And yet, what do we see? We see God use him to defeat the enemy. Throughout the Bible, we see it again. What about the New Testament? We see God tell Peter, what, you're going to be the rock that on which I'm going to build my church. We see it with Saul. Saul was, I mean, he was a terrorist. He was out there killing Christians, persecuting them, going into their houses, you know, stoning them to death. And God says, wait a minute, I'm going to change your name. You're no longer Saul. You're now Paul. And he was the greatest missionary in the early church. We see how God built the early church through his missionary work, taking the message and starting churches. And so God will give you a new name. What you've been labeled by in the past does not have to be true any longer. I've seen this in my own life, in my own marriage, even in so many ways. As a young adult, I want to be honest with you guys. I was an insecure young adult. I was always worried about what other people thought about me. And I was worried about being good enough or making other people happy. And so I carried around that insecurity with me. And I really didn't have confidence in who God created me to be. And I think back to my young adult years, and it's something even from time to time I still struggle with. But I see that. And that the way that shapes who you are, those labels that other people have put on you, man, it can really hold you back. But here's what I found out. As I've grown in my relationship with Christ, he's given me a new name. It really, and I know this, hear me on this, it doesn't matter what you guys think about me. Honestly. I mean, if I'm up here, if I'm doing what God has called me to do, if I'm preaching his word, if I'm living out my life the way God, it doesn't matter if you guys approve of it or not. Because the one I'm trying to please in my life, I'm not trying to live my life to please people. I'm trying to please God. And growing into that and understanding your identity, because I'm just in a group this size, I'm not going to make all you guys happy, right? I mean, it doesn't matter how hard I try. somebody is not going to like the way I dress, the way I talk, the way I preach, the way somebody's going to be unhappy. That's just the reality of life. And in my life, understanding who I am, God has given me a new label. I've been transformed. I've been healed. I've got to understand that I'm loved. And man, whatever it is, God is going to give you a new name. Some of you in here, you need to understand what your new name is. Maybe it's forgiven. Maybe you've been carrying around that guilt and the shame of what you've done. And God says your new name here this morning is forgiven. Maybe some of you here, you need that name Overcomer because in your life you feel beat down. You feel like nothing has gone your way, and God wants to know you can be an overcomer. And maybe whatever it is, maybe you believe what others have said about you, but you need to believe what God has said about you. Whatever it is, God will give you a new name. It's interesting when you study history, you look, our names carry so much meaning to our life. In the Nazi concentration camps, what did they do to the Jewish prisoners? They stripped away their identification. They took everything that identified them away from them, and they just gave them a number. They took away their name, and they were now just a number. Why? Because, I'll tell you what, because it kind of strips our identity away from us. And Satan does the same thing to so many believers. Satan, what he does, he takes away our name. He takes away, and he tries to give us a new identity based on what we've done instead of what Jesus has done for us. And so I urge you to understand that you have a new name. Your name is wrapped around your identity in Christ. Second thing, if you're taking notes, we'll keep going here. God will give you a new purpose. God's going to give you a new purpose as well. He doesn't just give you a new name, a new identity. He changes your life. He gives you a new purpose. You have something to live for now. I gave you the example earlier of Peter. Think about this. When Jesus met him, he was this guy named Simon who he would have been labeled unpredictable, undependable, hot-headed. Jesus met him and said, hey, you're a fisherman. Now you're going to be a fisher of men. See, so he said, wait a minute, you've been focusing on a catch way too small. I'm going to give you a new purpose in life. I'm going to redirect your passion, and I'm going to help you for the rest of your life. Now, you're going to fish for people. In other words, you can change the world. And here's this uneducated, ordinary guy that's just going about his day-to-day life, and Jesus says, wait a minute, I'm going to give you not just a new name, I'm going to give you a whole new purpose in your life. And so, you know, one time Jesus asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? And they're going around saying, some say you're this, and some people say you're Elijah, some say John the Baptist. And Jesus asked them, said, who do you say that I am? And of course, Peter, he looked at Simon Peter, and he said, but who do you say that I am? And Simon said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus replied in Matthew 16 and says, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter. He gives him a new name. And on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. So he gives him a new name. Now he's given him a new purpose and said, you're going to be the rock. You're going to be the dependable one. You're going to be the steady one. You're going to be the one that I can count on. Now, let me just ask you, did Peter kind of just automatically change and live into that identity, live into that purpose? What happened at the night when Jesus was arrested? Peter denied him. Was he the rock? No, he was scared. But what we see Peter grow into that. And Jesus knew where he was going, not just where Jesus saw him for what he could be, not just where he was. And so Jesus knew, you know, what happened then after after the resurrection of Jesus and Jesus spent time with the disciples, what happened? The disciples waited in Jerusalem. They received the Holy Spirit. Then at Pentecost, do you realize what God, out of all the people he could have chosen, who gave the first big message to the crowd? It was Peter. And when he preached, 3,000 people were saved. And from that point forward, we see that he was the rock. He had a new purpose. He had a new identity. And so God will give you a new purpose. And it may take time to grow into that, but God will put the right people. He will give you the right opportunities to bring you into that. And I'll just tell you, out of your greatest weakness, God can raise up your greatest strength. And so the things that you're struggling with now may be your greatest strength as God uses them for his kingdom. And so understanding that we have a new name, a new purpose, and finally the third thing, that we have a new future. Through the power of Christ, God will give you a new future. I deal with so many people and I talk with so many people who are just in a battle, in a struggle. And I hear things like, man, my life is never going anywhere. Things are never going to get better. I just wish I could be happy. I'm always going to be alone. I just feel miserable all the time. I'm never going to get out of debt. I'm always going to battle with this problem. What I see is that so many people, yes, you're in a struggle, you're in a battle, but you can't see out of it. You're in the midst of that struggle and you don't have any hope. And God is a God of hope. God is a God of love. He's a God that's not, yes, he said we will have struggle in this life. You will be persecuted. You will go through problems in life, but you have a hope. You have a future. Jeremiah 29:11 is a verse you hear a lot. And we just need to remember this. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a plan to give you a hope and a future. A hope and a future. A hope and a future. We just need to remember that. No matter where we are, we're not going to stay there for the rest of our life. Yes, you may be in a season of struggle. You may be in a season of pain. You may be in a season where it doesn't look good. But it's in those times where we rely on God and that he carries us through them and that we gain our strength, we gain our peace, we gain our joy, we gain our contentment, not through the circumstances we find ourselves in life, but through Christ who sustains us through them. And so just understanding again, you may be in debt up to your eyeballs and you're saying here, but I want to be rich. And God says, hey, you'll be rich. It's in spiritual things. You may not have much money in this life, but guess what? You're going to have everything you need. And you can be content in that, whether in plenty or in want. Paul said, I've learned that I have everything I need to be content. That's what I love about the book of Philippians. Paul is saying, whatever situation you find yourself in life, be content. When Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, it's not a verse about, hey, I think I can lift 1,000 pounds. I'm going to do it. And I can do it because Christ is in me. You see all the football players and everybody write it on. That's not what that verse is about. That verse is about, Paul is saying, I'm in jail now. I'm in prison. I have nothing. And guess what? I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that because I've learned to be content. And so when we read in Philippians 3, it says, I do not consider myself yet to take hold of it, but one thing I do, I forget what is behind, I strain toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. That's an attitude of looking to the future. It's not wallowing in our self-pity and our doubt and our struggles and our fears and in our failures. It's understanding that we press on. And in those times where we feel like we can't go on, it's the times where we allow God to pick us up and carry us. It's the times that we rely on him. And this is kind of a side note here a little bit, but I see so many people say, yeah, I tell you, one day my life's going to change. One day, and it may be, one day I want to be in ministry one day. Or maybe one day I want to be out of debt. Or one day, I want to find the perfect person to be my spouse. whatever it is. They have a picture of the future, what they want it to be. But the problem is, the choices they're making aren't taking them towards that future. They're taking them away from God. And I see this so often. I just feel like I need to mention it. I love, Andy Stanley wrote a book several years ago called The Principle of the Path. And in it, he had a profound statement. And for some of you, this might be the most important thing you get out of this morning. He says, your direction, not your intention, determines your destination in life. People have good intentions. I want to find this perfect person. And when I do, I'm going to marry him. We're going to have just this picture-perfect family. But guess what? That's your intention. But if your direction in life, if your steps in life, if the choices you're making now, are you're hanging out and you're getting drunk at the bar every week, you're not going to find that perfect person there, right? And so your direction, not your intention, determines your destination in life. And so I'll just tell you, if you're in the midst of a struggle right now and you're saying, man, I just want something better for my life, then it starts with surrendering to the will of God and living your life in obedience to Him and putting Him first and learning what it means to say, I'm going to live for you. It's understanding who you are in Christ, understanding you have a new name, now you have a new purpose. And now you are living out that purpose and you will get to your new future. And I just want to tell you that we have to understand that. I just want to challenge you this morning. Refuse to let the labels of your past limit God's plan for your future. Just don't let the labels of your past limit God's plan for your future. And so how do we do that? Here's what I kind of want to leave you with this morning. You need to abandon any image of yourself that is not from God. And maybe somebody else has put it on you. Maybe you've started believing something about yourself. What you need to understand, you're not defined by your feelings. You're not defined by the opinions of others. You're not defined by your circumstances. You're not defined by your successes or your failures. You're not defined by what car you drive, or the money you make, or the house you own, or you're defined by God and God alone. We just need to understand, we're defined by what God thinks about us. And I'll tell you, as we read through the Bible, we see all these before and after stories. We see things that say, you were dead, but now you're alive. You were lost, and now you're found. That's in Luke 15. In Romans 6, it says you were dead in sin, but now you're alive to God. In Romans 6. And in Ephesians 5, it says you were in darkness, but now you're in the light. And in 1 Corinthians 6, it says there's all this before and after picture. And before, it's, you know, these people that are sexually immoral, idolaters, thieves, greedy, drunkards, homosexuals, swindlers, slanderers, all that on the before. And then afterwards, it says, you have gone through an amazing transformation. You are now washed. You are now sanctified. You are now justified. And you are now holy before God. In Titus 3, it says we were once slaves to lust and many pleasures. But God saved us, not because of what we had done. And now we inherit eternal life and we are righteous in His sight. You start seeing where we were does not define, our past does not determine where we are and where we're going. You are not defined by your past. And I'll just tell you, no matter what you've done, you can have a new start. You can have a new life. Isaiah 1 says it this way, come, let us reason together, says the Lord, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. It's in Isaiah 1:18. And just understanding that we, our sins can be cleansed. 1 John 1:9 says it this way. If we confess our sin, guess what? He is faithful. He is just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And again, it's not where you've been that matters, but it's who you are in Christ. In John 1:12, he says this. He says, but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. Would you be honest enough this morning to admit there's really something that has been holding me back and to say, I've labeled myself, whatever you wrote or whatever you thought about earlier in the service, I'm going to have a couple guys. They're going to pass out. They're going to walk around. They're going to pass out some name tags that say, my name is. And we're going to do a little exercise as we close the service this morning. And because a lot of you, us, and myself included, we're carrying around labels. We're carrying around labels in our life, and we've allowed those labels to define us. And you guys can hand those out. Just if you want one, slip up your hand. What we're going to do, I'm going to ask that you take these, and you write out whatever it is that's been holding you back. And we're going to have kind of a video here at the end of the service, and I'm going to give you a chance to take those labels, whatever it is that has defined you, whatever it is that has held you back, and you can write out whatever it is, and you can unpeel it, you can stick it to the cross, and you can leave it there. Just as a symbolic act of saying, I'm leaving this at the cross. It no longer defines who I am. It no longer defines me as a person. And again, it's not by the power of Christ, I believe that I am now an overcomer. By the power of Christ living in me, I know that my past does not define my future. And I'm just going to say, this is a time that we can leave our past behind. Matthew West wrote a song, and you may have heard it on Christian radio, called My Name Is. Y'all heard that? And in that song, I want to tell you the story of that song while they're handing out these cards. And that's, he wrote that whole album. He had fans write in stories and testimonies. And he had a guy write in a story, and this was the guy's story. I'm just going to read this as kind of a testimony. He says, hello, my name is Jordan. And this guy was writing to Matthew West, and he says, and I am a drug addict. That was the first sentence of this young man's story that he sent to me. He went on to tell me how for years that was how he had identified himself. He was a two-sport all-star athlete in high school. He received a college scholarship to run track and play football at a university in Kentucky. But during his sophomore season, he broke his ankle, and that's when he received his first prescription to OxyContin. He wrote about how his addiction quickly took a hold of his life and sent him spinning out of control. After two failed drug tests, the university kicked him out, removed his sports scholarships. He lost everything he had worked for. He ended up at a place called Teen Challenge in North Carolina, a place that I'm sure many of you are probably familiar with. They have locations around the country. It's a Christian rehab center, and they're in the business of restoring lives with the hope of Jesus Christ. And Jordan said it was during his time in Teen Challenge he began to realize that God wasn't done with him yet, and that all those defeating titles like addict didn't have to be attached to his name the rest of his life. His story is far from over. In the years since his recovery, he went back. He got his master's degree from the very college that kicked him out. Now he's a teacher and a coach and a newlywed, and he's recently felt God calling him into full-time ministry. He closed the story by saying, these days, I introduce myself a little differently than I used to. He says, now, hello, my name is Jordan, and I'm a child of the one true King. What a powerful story. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. What I'm going to do, I'm going to play the video to that song I just mentioned. And while that song is playing, this is your opportunity. If you just want to sit there and kind of pray and kind of reflect where you're at, that's fine. But if you want to get up, you can take your label. You can just unstick it, stick it to the cross, leave it there. There are also labels on the table beside the cross. There are markers over there. Let's play this video, and I just want to give you guys a chance to respond this morning. I'll ask the praise team to come on back up. Here's what I want to just close with. Don't you dare let anybody else tell you who you are. Know who you are in Christ. Christ will bestow a new name on you. And when he does that, he's going to give you a new purpose for your life. And as you start living out that purpose, guess what? He gives you a new future as well. And so you start understanding who you are and why you're created and why you are here. And I'm just telling you, it's a completely new way to live your life. You are now a new creation in Christ. The old life is gone. The new life has come. And this morning, as we close out with this last song, this is your invitation to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he died for your sin so that you can find life in him. You can find that new name. You can find that new purpose. You can find that new identity. And when we put our faith, our trust, our belief in Jesus Christ, he saves us not because of what we've done, not because of our past, but because of what he did on the cross. So this morning, you can have new life in Christ. You can have a new start. And so I'm going to be over to the side. I'll pray with you. I'll answer any questions. Just respond to God. Respond to the gospel. Let's put Him first. Let's live our life for Him and live into this new identity. Would you guys stand with me?
Before we dismiss, Father God, we thank you, Lord, that through your blood we can be saved. We thank you that we don't have to be defined by our past, that you give us a new name, you give us a new purpose. We ask God that you would just help us remember that as we go through our lives, that we're made new through you and that we have a purpose, and that's to share your love with others. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Have a great week.